Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to BLT, Business, Life, Transitions, the show that explores all the latest trends in your business, life, and our favorite topic, transitions. Hosted by Brian Basilico, the Director of Direction with B2B Interactive Marketing, and Jan Marino, CEO of High Gain Companies, Inc. And now it's time for some insightful conversation and interviews with your hosts, Brian and Jan.
Good morning, everybody. Hope you're doing well today. And we're going to give a shout out to Jan. She is still on the mend from her illness, but hopefully she'll be back with us next week. So we have, again, our special guest host, Ellen Huxtable. Ellen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks, Brian. And I do hope that Jan feels better soon. We all hope that she'll be back and back on Blog Talk Radio with you very soon.
Yes, I agree. I agree. So she's. I talked to her last week, and she's doing better, but she's still on the mend. So we got to give her a little bit of time, and you know, things happen. So, yesterday was kind of a crazy day for me. It was my birthday. And
happy birthday!
thank you. But one of the things, the reason it was so crazy is because I have this this thing that I do since I wrote a book on social media, work on social media, teach social media. One of the things that I make sure that I do, that every time somebody comments on anything, I actively try to engage them and comment back. And so on a birthday, when something like Facebook says, you know, today's Brian's birthday, you know, you can imagine the number of people that were wishing me a happy birthday. It ended up being over 500 people on Facebook that I had to go in each individual one, like there, and comment back. And so it made for a long day. And then one of the other things that's happened now is LinkedIn has started posting people's birthdays. So then I, you know, was like, not only was I dealing with the whole side of the Facebook side of things, but, you know, the LinkedIn side of things. And so I had to go into there. And I mean, even this morning, there was a whole bunch more I had to go in and do. But it's one of those things that I try to, you know, to make sure that people understand is if you're going to be on social media, if you're going to be engaging with people, and I don't care whether it's Facebook, LinkedIn, or Twitter, you know, when people are communicating with you, you want to make sure that you're communicating back. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. And then there's some of us who can't remember if we wished you a happy birthday or not, so we'll wish you a happy birthday again. So we can really up your count to like 700, 800, 900. We can keep you typing for a very long time. No problem, Brian. And especially since you only use you know, your five fingers, two on one side, three on the other, to type. We can see how long we can keep you occupied. This is not going to be a problem. We'll try next year and see what happens.
I think next year I'm going to have to hire a virtual assistant to help because it was like, you know, I'm just so glad it was a Sunday, you know, because it was very time consuming, but luckily it was a, you know, kind of a day off. And yeah, so it was a little crazy, but you know, that's just one of those tips. You know, is like if you're gonna be on social media, if you're gonna do these kind of things, if you're gonna engage with people, I mean, you need to treat them like a human being. You know, and it's just because a lot of people don't. You know, and that's if you want people to continue to communicate with you, the by responding to them, they will be prompted to do it more. And I think that works the same for, you know, anybody, whether it's a business, a brand, somebody looking for a job, you know, it's you have to be communicative with people. And and you know that more from the face-to-face side, right?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that's important is to make those kind of connections. And whether it's responding to a birthday wish or especially making sure that you do wish people a happy birthday or congratulate them on a new job, because every time we reach out that way, and whether it's face-to-face or through the social media, we've reestablished that connection in somebody's mind. Another thing nice about social media is if you see on there that it's somebody's birthday, the next time you see them, you say, well, how was your birthday? Or if you find out they have a new job, you ask them how the job is going. So social media is really, really important for helping to build those face-to-face connections, because you know what's going on in somebody's life. For example, through the social media, we know that Jan hasn't been feeling so well lately, so that people that know her would be looking at, you know, looking her up in the future and asking her how she's doing. So that's how the two work together so well and so closely. It's important to keep that in mind.
Right, yeah. Now, I'm a firm believer the two work in concert. They're not separate medias. Face-to-face and social is just an extension of each other. So, I'd like to bring in our guest, and I just have to double-check I'm pronouncing your name right. Lam, is that right?
Yeah, I didn't hear. Hi, Brian. Good morning. Hi,
hey,
Helen.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Einar is the pronunciation of my name, but it's pronounced in many different ways as I have been working around the world. So I'm not offended if it's not exactly pronounced the way I'm used to.
So let us know how do you pronounce it?
Reiner.
Reiner. Okay.
Yes.
Reiner. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm used to having my name pronounced a lot of different ways. So, Reiner,
it's
a pleasure having you on.
Part of globalization, internationalization, cross-cultural interaction, right? That names sound different in different languages.
Yes, they do. You know, you bring up a really good point because I was reading an e-book from a woman who is in Canada. And as I was reading through the ebook, I kept going, that's misspelled. And I'm going, wait a minute, no, it's spelled that way in Canada or it's spelled that way in England. And,
right.
You know, you have to get used to the fact that, you know, that we are kind of a much more multicultural world now, especially online, right?
That is true. Yeah, that is really true. And I hope, like many people, that their names are misspelled or mispronounced, that they don't feel offended because of that. It's just people don't mean negative or bad doing this.
This is very true. Yeah, we all got something to learn, right? So I've learned
right.
A new thing today, and I think Helen has learned a new thing. So hey,
absolutely.
Reiner, tell us a little bit about you and how did you get into first and foremost, you wrote a book. It's a Boomerang Approach, and you coach people through leadership and career development. How did you get into that? Tell us a little bit about you.
Mm-hmm. I will, but just let me say happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Wish you all the best personally and for your show and professionally. I appreciate very much what you're doing, and I want to also send Jen, well wishes for her recovery. I think that's very important. So,
amen.
So about 15 years ago, I was on a business trip in Asia, and this was in my second career. My first career was had a technical career, and the second was a business career, like as an entrepreneur and business manager. And in that second career, 15 years ago, I was going very often to Asia on business trips to negotiate or build partnerships with alliance partners. And the night, because I was jet-lagged, I woke up in the middle of the night, I turned on the TV, and I was immediately drawn into a news story of an ethnic war in Africa, where two ethnic groups were, the paramilitary troops of one ethnic group was raging through villages of the other ethnic group and cutting off the arms of every little child they could get a hold of. And they did it in a way that they forced the fathers of these children to hold the hands while they committed this brutal act by pointing a gun towards their head. And my son was 10 years at that time, and I was thinking of my son, and I identified in a very painful way with these fathers. I actually, to admit, first time in a long time, I cried that night, and it had hit me so deeply. Not that I was not aware of the pain in the world and the issues that existed, but by that time I had worked mainly like for over 25, almost 30 years on technical solutions to problems in the world. But I suddenly realized that these type of problems, like a war and many of the other problems, even that where we have technical solutions for, but we cannot solve them just by throwing technical solutions into the world. There's another element of it. And it actually, through a longer process, 5 to 10 years following that event and many other learnings, I actually discovered that rather than developing technologies, that developing people was my true calling. And as I discovered that misalignment that I had between the work I was doing and what I truly wanted to do, what I truly cared about, I discovered also that like many people around the world had the same issue. They had that misalignment, especially among the baby boomers. You might have seen research from Oncourt.org and others that show that millions, actually the last number was 25 million people among the baby boomers, desire to make a different contribution to society and to the world, being it environmentally or socially. And so that misalignment affects many people. It's a thing that I discovered in my research, but also that most people that I talked to during all these years, they had that misalignment, they had the desire to do something different, but they, for two reasons, they did not do it. One was they did not know how to go about it, or the second reason was they were afraid that they were afraid of the risk. Let's say 9 out of 10 people, like, they were, you know, concerned about financial security and didn't want to give that up. Like, some people might call it the golden handcuffs. And so these are really the two issues that I discovered. And that actually did lead me to, over years, then starting coaching and helping people through that process and developing the boomerang approach. So it's kind of a long story, but I think it's an important story that many people might relate to in currently in the world.
Ellen, you have a question?
Yeah, I was certainly so fascinating. What are some of the aspects? How do you bring this out of people? How do you help people integrate what they really have the passion for and what they're doing in the world? And can you give us a little bit of background on your process? It sounds fascinating.
Yeah. There's different elements of it. There's this specific question of how do you bring out what people are passionate about, what they care about. There's things that I have learned over time that work and others that don't work so well. So what I put in the book is kind of a framework, step-by-step, kind of a six-step process. And the first three steps are really focused on bringing out what you're describing, what you're asking for. And it's the first one is really, what is your passion? What is the type of activities you love to do so that really give you joy? Okay, so that's the first one. And there is exercises you can do looking into your past experiences. Like, so especially if somebody had like some professional experience, personal experience, and so on. So there's many things that they can remember that when they did these activities, they created deep joy. That it's all mostly they're also connected with some kind of success they had. But very often people have like forgotten about those and they're buried, but when I ask them about these stories, when I ask them to do these exercises, you can bring them out. You can actually bring them out. Storytelling has an amazing power. So I let people write these stories about happiness and success they had in their life, and that brings out the type of activities they were doing at this point in time that created that joy. So that's kind of one exercise that's very, very powerful. It helped me. But it helps always, the people that I work with, it always brings out what is the type of things that they're passionate about. There is other elements that are important, which has more to do with what do you care about in the world. So like I described this issue of children and being mistreated and so on. They might worry about climate change, or they might worry about the elderly people, you know, being in nursing homes and not cared for very well, things like that. So it's also, what is it that you are drawn to that whenever you open the newspaper or you turn on the news or you go in the library or whatever, that draws your attention, something you care about. It might be somebody might care about the national debt, you know, or might care about future, you know, the social security system, or they might care about just next door, the neighborhood, you know, the poverty in the neighborhood or jobs and things like that. So there's something always that is is floating to the top of somebody's mind that they care more about than anything else. And so that's the second element that's very important. That's kind of, it's very often connected to the values somebody has and also to the experiences they had in their life, how they were brought up, you know, by their parents or other role models.
So how does this play into people
you know, especially boomers that, you know, the careers are changing right in front of them. I mean, you mentioned the golden handcuffs, and, you know, the old days we had this thing known as job loyalty and pensions and all that stuff. How does this play into people kind of reinventing themselves into their career path?
Yeah, it plays actually very well into it. So what I discover, and I have to, just to add that sometimes it even shows up for people earlier than the baby boomers, younger generations also. I have the youngest people that are reading my book are in their 20s or that even ask for advice. In a lot of that are in the 30s, some are in the early 40s, so some are not quite baby boomers yet. But I think I would say with the baby boomers it's even stronger, that they suddenly at some point in time they realize in their career that there's something else they are drawn to. So they have this sense, I need to change something, but I don't know how to do it. And so they somehow engage in a process. Either they sit and think about what they want to do, but they don't know how to move forward, or they reach out for help, which I really recommend if somebody is stuck, to talk to a friend or talk to even a professional like coach, you know, so to some kind of help, or read a book that helps them move forward. But the way it plays out is actually that people at a certain time, they can take an assessment of their situation, but it's kind of a self-reflection, so that I recommend. And it's the three things that I ask them to reflect on. It's the two things I just described. What are you passionate about? What do you care about in the world? And what are your strengths? Okay, so if you want to move to a new career, you want to make sure that you move into something that requires your strengths, that you can apply your strengths on a daily basis. Experiences that you have gathered, skills that you have built, talents that you have. And if you bring those three things together, so I lead people that come to me through that process to find out about those three things, kind of a self-reflection of what are they strong in, what do they care about, and what is the types of activities that create the most joy for them. And bring it all together in, you can imagine it as, in the book I have it as three circles, like a Venn diagram, that all these three circles overlap, and find a role that brings all these three things together. And so the way it plays out for people is that they think about what are other roles that I could play other than the one I'm playing right now that brings those three things together. Now, it could play out different ways. For somebody, might not have to change even company. They might not have to change even the job. They might just have to make adjustments. I have clients that went through the process and said, oh, I don't want to make a big change right now, but I can apply what I learned about myself right in my job. I can show up differently. I can take on new responsibilities or the way I approach my job. But some people also have to say, or they say to themselves, I want to make a big change. I really want to give up my job and want to do something completely different. So it plays out in different ways depending on where somebody is, what responsibility they have currently.
You talked about your book, certainly, and it sounds like it's a wonderful reference. Can you tell us a little bit about the other ways that you help people, or do you do individual coaching? Do you do groups or a long distance? What are some of the ways people can tap into your expertise?
Yeah, there's different ways. The one is the individual, there's the one-on-one coaching. I would say that is used a lot. As I work globally, I have clients worldwide and also in the U.S., in different parts of the country. It's mostly done virtually, so through Skype or some people prefer phone calls. Skype is very powerful because I see the people and I can also pick up on their emotional state, so just looking at physically how they are that day. But there's different ways of doing that. I'm doing it also just face-to-face meetings if locally sometimes, you know, or a mixture of it. The other way I'm doing it, and I have done it over many years, is with workshops. So you have groups of 10, 15, 20 people, 25 people together, and I lead them through these exercises in a group session. So I let them actually work together And that's also very powerful. It's because if it's a joint experience, and people learn from each other. So that's the second way. And very often people use that in combination. So they, let's say they would go through a workshop, and then they would follow up saying, I need a few more individual sessions to continue my process. I need to say that this type of change is not an event. You know, it might be triggered by an event, the one that I described, but then we're talking about the lifelong attempt to make sure that your life is aligned with what you care about, with your purpose, with your passion, that you bring in your strengths every day. So I see it more as a journey than as a single event. There might be milestones along, you know, when you say, this is now when I change my job, or this is now when I go back to school, or this is now when I take a certain action to move forward. But in general, it's a journey, and that's something I think it's very important to recognize.
It sounds like something that, you know, whether you're looking to change or not, that you could probably do to help you just kind of assess where you're at, kind of like a self-assessment kind of thing. Would you agree?
Yeah, and there's different like tools out there, like, you know, like Strengths Finder is an example where you can say, oh, what are my strengths? And these are all good tools. What I tried with the book, and this again of my experience of having managed people and coached people for many, many years, I tried to write something very simple that people can apply without going through all these different assessments. They can, through easy exercise, simple exercise, I tried to really, simple but powerful way, not taking away from all the great assessments that are out there, but the book itself, the first three parts, the three chapters are actually about the self-assessment that you're describing, that can be done in a relatively easy way. I recommend actually to pair up with somebody a trustworthy person, somebody that's a good listener, because then you get more reflection, you get more mirroring. So what did I hear, and so on. So it doesn't have to be always like a trained coach. It's somebody that is just maybe a good friend that cares, that has the ability to listen and to reflect with somebody. But also, if somebody cannot move forward, like a good professional coach, you know, it can be very helpful to move somebody forward.
Now, what have been some of the successes that people have? What have been some of the things that this has really been important for people to find their true self and to find their true calling? What have been some of the things that this has helped people with?
Yeah, I can give you examples of people. They are all over the place in terms of the types of things that, how it turned people's life around. I gave before the example of clients that, and there's one in the book right at the beginning, I used that story of somebody that is in a professional situation. She came to me with thinking about what do I need to change, and the assumption was kind of like I need to change careers right away, so she wanted to do like work in Africa and so on. But through her process to know who she truly was or is and what she cares about, she found out she could make these changes right in her current job in applying those learnings, to applying her strengths more, to apply more what she cared about, her passions and so on, while she also could engage in parallel in projects in Africa. So that was a change that changed significantly her way of being. Like we are still in contact, check in, you know, every 2 months or so, and she it transformed her life. You know, the way she shows up at work, the difference that she makes to people. That's an example of where somebody doesn't have to do an immediate big change. But I have also an example in the book of Gabriele. She was an airline pilot for many years, and she was at the end. It was at that time when, you know, the airlines struggled and they canceled their pension plans and so on, so that her old plan to retire was 55 and then follow her passions, she couldn't do that anymore. Like she now had some financial concerns as well, and so she came to me and said, "There's all these things I wanted, you know, I can think of doing and I like doing, but I really don't know what to focus on." And so leading her through the process helped her to figure out that she really the thing that she enjoyed most is was working with horses, and also she cared about, you know, in terms of what the world needed, she cared about was like about nature, about environmental sustainability and so on. But at the end, she went through a long process of change. She took even a sabbatical from her flying, and then going back again to check if, you know, if she liked it more now. But it was a long process, and today she has dedicated her life to conservation of the environment for the American wild horses. She works with Mustangs, and she is involved in projects to preserve and protect the environment for the wild horses for the American Mustangs. And her life has totally changed. I mean, she's like, at times I've talked to her, she said, I've never been happier in my life, because she's doing exactly what is aligned with, you know, what her strengths are. She likes strong and nurturing animals. She cares about the environment, and she's passionate about horses, and she brings that all together in her daily livelihood.
That's awesome.
Well, I think
so, Rainer, if people wanted to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, there's many ways, but I like one simple way is to go on my website, which is the www.boomerangcoach.com. So that's my website, and there's a site where they can enter contact information and send it. But if they want to just look at the book and maybe, you know, like peek into it or even buy it, it's on Amazon.com. But I'm also on the social media, like LinkedIn and Facebook. They find me there. Just enter my name or even the name of the book or my company name, and they will find me. I'm also on Twitter, so these are other ways. But the website would be best to get in contact with me, the boomerangcoach.com website, and that contact site.
Well, thank you so much for the information, and certainly I'll be looking up your book and your website. It sounds like something that can help everybody. So thank you so much for spending the time.
Thank you, too.
Yes.
I appreciate for being on the show, and I'm very grateful for it.
Thank you very much. Thanks for joining us, Rainer. We really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, yeah, that was some great stuff. You know, and I really liked his passion approach, and definitely worth looking up, because I think that's incredibly important. A lot of us, you know, we tend to get on the, some people call it a treadmill, some people call it the gerbil wheel, you know, you just keep running and running and running. And sometimes you're just doing stuff because it's what's in front of you. Would you agree?
I think so. I mean, last night we had what was supposed to have been 1 inch of snow, and it looks like there was at least, you know, three or four of its brothers that came along with it. And I was
mm-hmm.
driving through that, and I was stuck in a snow rut. And I think that a lot of what Lennon was saying is sort of like being stuck in a snow rut in your life, in your career. So to look at where you really want to go, because when you're stuck in a rut, you're going to go wherever that rut's going. And so to take a look at it and think, well, what else is possible? And I'm going to get out of this and do something that is much more my passion is really quite exciting.
Yeah, and that's really what, you know, when you're faced with these transitions, whether it's a self-made transition or, you know, somebody else is kind of forcing their hand upon it, it's always good to kind of sit back, take a deep breath, and do an assessment and figure out, okay, you know, where do I really want to go? Because things change, right? So
yeah, absolutely. I think that I worked with somebody at one time who never, ever used the word problem or challenge. They always used the word opportunity. And no matter what was facing us, we would see we have an opportunity here. And even if the fire alarms are going off and the fire department was standing out the door, they would be sitting there saying, we have an opportunity. And so I think that one of the things to think about is that, yeah, the change really is an opportunity.
Yep. Well, I love the opportunity to talk with Rainer and with you today, Ellen. Thank you again for guest hosting, and check back next week, and hopefully Jan will be back. So thanks, Ellen. Have yourself an awesome week.
And thank you, Brian, for having me here.
All right, guys. Hope to talk to you next week on BLT.
Okay, that's today's BLT, Business, Life, Transitions. You can contact Brian at bbasilico@me.com and jan@jan.highgainco@gmail.com. Join us again next week for some more great insight about your business, your life, and your transitions. Till next time, thanks for tuning in.